Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Farmington, Michigan, and got high when he was 13 years old. He fought addictions to alcohol and drugs for 10 years and spent 13 months at Teen Challenge in Muskegon, Michigan, and it transformed his life. His late father, Mike Feasy, never gave up on him and called his recovery a miracle. His name, Sam Feasy, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And this week we're talking to Sam Feasy, the son of our former president of WJR, the late, great Mike Feasy. Sam, welcome. A real honor.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks for having me on.
Today is Father's Day. Can we begin by you telling us about your late great dad, Mike Feasy?
Well, I definitely can't say everything I can about my dad because it would certainly take up the whole time we had. But he was a man of faith, a man of God, a man who, first of all, loved his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and then just loved others unconditionally. I'm extremely grateful for experiencing that through my whole life, through young adulthood, childhood, adolescence, everything.
He was in Naples for a month with your mom, and on March 27th, as they were getting ready to come back, he suffered a massive heart attack while in Naples, and he passed to eternity. All right, your mom. Tell us about your mom.
Oh, boy. Susie Feasy. My mom is, besides Christ, my mom is definitely the reason my dad was the man that he was capable of being. She is such a solid support, both spiritually and emotionally, physically. She's just an amazing woman. And she was just always there for my dad, for all of us, and just really poured herself into my dad and us as kids and everybody who came in contact with Mike and Susie as a couple.
Sam, what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad, and what's the biggest thing you've learned from Mom?
Biggest thing I learned from Dad would definitely be to put others before myself. And this goes for Pete and Jess, my brother and sister. My dad would ask us just about every night at dinner when we were growing up, you know, what did you do for somebody else today? And if there's one line that could sum up Mike Feasy, that would be it. What did you do for somebody else today? I'm sure there's countless people, myself included, that will say the last text or call they received from Mike Feasy was him asking how somebody else was doing, just concerned with others. And that is definitely one thing I learned from him. And from my mother, what I carry through to today is to just always look for God's hand in any circumstance in life, any trial, anything good, anything bad. Try and see how God is working that to God's glory in your life, what God's plan is for whatever situation in your life.
A listener says we're 4 minutes into this show. Wow, this man was blessed with special parents, Christ-centered parents. What a great blessing. And when you were 13 years old, Sam, you got high for the first time. How and why?
It's still something I struggle with to this day. Coming from a big-name family, the Feasy family, it was hard for me to kind of find my own bearing and be comfortable in doing my own thing. And I believed a lie for a lot of years that drugs would provide my own identity for me. And I really believe that that is one of the main reasons that led me to begin to get high, also to add on peer pressure and wanting to fit in, and that's what kids in school were doing, whatever. But it was definitely wanting to form some sort of identity.
You fought this weakness, this addiction, for 9 years on your own. Tell us about those 9 years.
They were not fun. There was definitely parts from an outsider's perspective that, you know, you would definitely say, that looks like fun. It looks like he's having a good time. But deep down, when you have to wake up in the morning and basically physically get high to even look at yourself in the mirror or confront yourself or go about your day, that's not a fun way to live. And I tried for years through so-called secular rehabs, the AA, NA programs, which I believe are great. They're a great stepping stone for people, but they never worked for me. I knew the God whom I served and who my parents served, and I knew that there was a way out of drug addiction. There was freedom from the bondage that came along with a lifestyle of addiction and drugs and abuse, and I just knew somewhere deep down that there was freedom from that.
Memorial weekend 2013. One night you tried to commit suicide.
That was a rough time in my life. I was just really consumed by depression and was trying to escape that depression by the use and abuse of drugs, alcohol, pretty much anything I could get my hands on. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to eat pills and drink until I go to sleep and don't wake up. And, you know, there's a couple weeks leading up to that night specifically that I just have no recollection of whatsoever. But I do remember what was in my heart. And what was in my heart at that time was I just didn't want to live. I wanted to take an easy way out. I didn't care anymore. For a long period of time, I didn't care. Finally, I was done hurting myself, hurting others, and just thought it'd be better off if I basically didn't exist anymore.
We're talking to Sam Feasey. The most miraculous story, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Sam Feasey, who Memorial Weekend 2013 tried to end his life through drugs and liquor. On June 2nd, 2013, his dad, the late great Mike Feasey, wrote him a letter. And we've asked our own Mitch Albom to read that letter.
June 2nd, 2013. My dear son, this September will be 5 years since the most powerful 15 minutes of my life occurred. It was the ambulance ride from Henry Ford Hospital in West Bloomfield to the downtown emergency room to meet with a team of doctors who were responsible for saving my life. It seems the severity of my situation required more expertise than West Bloomfield could handle, a severe and acute heart attack. Before we left the parking lot for the journey downtown, I was told that this looked bad. We'll do everything we can. You may not survive this. And they told the driver to hurry. This guy is not good, they said. When you think you're living the last few minutes of life, your mind moves very quickly, even faster than the drive could travel, lights, sirens, and all. As you might imagine, the first emotion was disbelief, then denial, followed by fear. But somewhere in the first few miles, something else happened, something that only God could provide. I was gifted with the greatest clarity in my life, a view of my past, present, and future, and all that had taken place, as if I were watching a documentary in hyper-fast speed, but with each moment being as real as if it were happening right then. This was God's way of allowing me to take inventory of my life, a chance to test my faith and understanding if what I claimed to believe was in fact real. As we entered the freeway and began to travel at a more rapid speed, the strangest thing happened. I became as calm and peaceful as I've ever been. A peace came over me, and I was able to submit my future to God and the promise of eternal life with Him. I asked for forgiveness for my sins and my failures. I celebrated all the blessings, and I became very still in my heart and my soul, resigned to what the next few minutes might bring. The peace I felt was as powerful as anything the last 51 years of life had provided. There was just one thing unsettled, one thing that was unfinished, and one thing that was in need of completion. That one thing was you, my dear son. God gave me a glimpse of the work He still needed to do in your life so that you could become the man He created you to be. The remaining ride, and until I awoke in the emergency room, my only role was to pray for you and your well-being. Last week, when your mother and I returned home and saw what had taken place, and during our discussion of the events of the previous few days, those same emotions returned to me, and I knew that we still had some work to do. You have accomplished so much in the past few years, and your life seemed to be heading in a good direction. The commitment to work, your desire for sobriety, and your vision for your future all seemed to be on track. The creativity and energy that God had gifted you with was being channeled, and the future seemed to be unfolding. The desperation, confusion, and panic that I saw in you as you described the three-day binge was cause for great concern, a concern that so much you had worked for was at risk of being destroyed. You're at a crossroads. Your future is happening right now. The break you have waited for is here. Being sober and staying sober is the key to your future. We all have weak spots. That's yours. You need someone to guide you through living a life free from the destructive power of drugs and alcohol. Only you can make the choice to deal with this head on. I believe that my life was spared in part so that God would show me this beautiful plan for you. You've always had a very special place in my heart, and I truly am your biggest fan. This is your moment, your time to become powerful over the forces that would destroy your dream. God has provided you with all the tools you need and a set of parents who are willing to do everything to support your journey. Don't be fooled by thinking you can do this alone. Long before you took your first breath, God designed circumstances and people in your life that would assure you were becoming exactly what you were created for. Your job is to respond, not to the desires of flesh, but to the beauty that awaits you. Respond. Commit to the future. Take one step in God's plan and direction, and the following steps will be so easy. Respond. I remain committed to you. Respond. People who you don't even know are waiting to join you on your journey. Respond. Admit that others were created to help and support you. Respond. You know what is good. Respond. You understand who God is. Respond. Life is a promise for you. Respond. Today is your chance to move forward with just one thing. Respond. 22 years ago, God gifted me with a son that I cherish. 5 years ago, God made clear in a 15-minute ambulance ride why I was allowed to live, so that we could work together to make your dreams come true. We will not allow anything or anyone to come against that. We as you, God, me, your mother, and all the support waiting for you to respond. You are my dearest son. And your life is my life's work. Your loving father. P.S. You know what you are? That's right. Awesome.
That was Mitch Albom reading a letter from Mike Feezy to his son, Sam. Sam, when you read that letter, what'd you think?
Well, when he initially gave it to me, I read it with not much response. And as you've heard in the letter, all my father wanted me to do was respond. I was so numb at that point. There was really no feeling or emotion that went into it when I read that letter. And he had talked to me about it a lot more than I had read it. So I went back and I looked at it. And man, I just can't get over the fact that he said in there that my life was his life's mission, and that that was made very clear to him. It's humbling to know how much he cared for me, to receive a letter like that and have that and be able to carry this for the rest of my life is amazing. I'm so grateful for it.
A couple months later, you get thrown in the clinker the first week of September. Tell us about that night in jail.
Well, I was in Brighton Hospital, a rehab center, and had a meeting with a counselor and my mother and father. My counselor knew I didn't want to be involved in AA or NA, and, you know, she suggested Teen Challenge. And my parents had just responded with, oh, that's incredible. Somebody was just telling us about Teen Challenge, and I'm sitting in the background like, what in the world is Teen Challenge? What are they talking about? And they go in to talk about Teen Challenge, explain that it's a year-long drug and alcohol treatment program. And all I'm thinking is, well, I'm in a drug and alcohol treatment program right now. Why in the world would I want to go to one that's a year long? So I wanted nothing to do with it, but knew deep down immediately that God was calling me to go to Teen Challenge. So I went out, left the rehab, and tried to live a sober lifestyle. And it was a beautiful summer day. Wanted to go to the beach with some friends and had a couple drinks and driving around. Cop did not actually pull me over, but received a call for me urinating in public, actually. When I got out of my car, he was questioning me about it, smelled alcohol. I wound up with an OWI that night when I got to the police station blowing .1 under the legal limit. So I just knew from that alone that this was not a coincidence. God was trying to grab a hold of me, and through that night that I was forced to spend in jail, God just broke me down, and I knew I had to give everything up to him if I really wanted to change.
We're talking to Sam Feasey, and I'm Jack Grisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Grisula, and we're with a living miracle, Sam Feasey. Sam, tell us about Teen Challenge.
Teen Challenge. Well, ultimately, it was Jesus Christ who performed the miracle and changed my life. But Teen Challenge is an amazing vessel that God uses to bring people what we say is life-controlling issues. But at Teen Challenge, that is usually specifically drug addiction and alcoholism. But it can literally be anything that is just dragging you down, keeping you in bondage, any kind of sin, really. It is a 12 to 13-month live-in discipleship program, which means you're there with about 60 to 70 other men. You all live together. You're all going through the same thing together. And through all that, you develop such a strong bond of brotherhood. These guys truly become your family. You're all fighting for the same goal. And you all have the same source, which is Jesus Christ. And to go through something like that is hard to really even explain, but it's amazing.
If you want to learn more, www.wm-tc.com. Sam, on a typical day during the week, you got up at 5:30 in the morning. By 9:40, you'd already been in chapel for almost an hour and a half. Then you had first Bible class for an hour, then second Bible class for an hour, then work duty for 4 hours, prayer from 6:30 to 7. No phones, no internet, no TV, no radio. Your mom and dad could visit with you every other Saturday for like 15 minutes. Mom and Dad would drive from Michigan, from Farmington to Muskegon, 2.5 hours each way to see you for 15 minutes. Then on the alternating Saturdays, one phone call from them. That was the only phone call you could get every 2 weeks. Why the hell did you stay? You could leave anytime you wanted.
Well, I just want to clarify, they could actually see me for 2 hours when they came to visit. But why did I stay? I knew I needed an extreme change. I knew I needed to be cut off from any sort of distraction, phone, internet, TV. I just knew I had to be completely cut off from all that for a long time to really renew my thought process, change my heart, and really find out what it took to have a relationship with Christ. I was raised in church, went to a Christian school, church every Sunday, youth group on Wednesday, which, I mean, all that didn't really go too well for me, but I understood what being a Christian was. I saw what it looked like through my mom and dad, of course, and I just never grasped the concept that I needed this one-on-one relationship, that Jesus could be somebody I could talk to, somebody I could spend time with, and I needed to know what that took. And in order to find out what that took, I needed to be cleared from all distractions. I needed to learn how to live a disciplined lifestyle. I needed to learn how to be responsible. I needed to just really learn how to give up things that I wanted, so I could just see God work in my life. It was really just all about surrender and obey. And in order to learn that, I had to be cut off from the distractions that the world had to offer.
November 6th, 2014, you graduate from Teen Challenge. www.wm-tc.com. Mike and Susie, your mom and dad, got a bus, took 20 family and friends who have helped you through the years, come to the graduation. And two kids show up on their own, and they sit in the first row. Who were those two kids?
Their names are Peyton and Joe. Joe is like a little brother to me, still to this day. We had a crazy, crazy history together. In a roundabout way, I wound up saving his life from wanting to commit suicide. There was a stretch in time where I was selling him drugs, and he was just really getting twisted. And something inside of me just was saying, you know, you need to stop this. You need to stop supplying this kid with drugs. He's ruining his life. Other people's lives are going to be ruined. And so I was just like, this can't happen anymore. We wound up meeting a couple months later on a more personal level. And he found out that I was the one selling him these drugs, told me the story of how he was wanting to commit suicide, and said, you know, Sam, you saved my life. And didn't know it at the time. But we just developed a connection and a bond that I definitely know God put us in each other's lives for a reason. And now Peyton, both of these guys stuck by my side through the best, the worst, just through everything. Peyton was there the night I was trying to end my life. And he saw what I was acting, the way I was acting. He saw what I was saying, and just knew he couldn't watch me do this. He knew something bad was going to happen. So I don't really know what was going on. I have no recollection of that night. I've just heard things. But, you know, Peyton told me he took the last few pills I had and a half gallon of vodka and flushed them down the toilet. And, you know, God only knows if Peyton hadn't been there, those pills hadn't gotten flushed, that booze hadn't gone down the toilet, who knows what may have happened. And, you know, I'm just grateful that I had friends that were there when I was at my worst and didn't give up on me, knew I was going to come out of it eventually. So they were crucial in the change in my life.
Speaking of which, I've known you for many years. I've observed you literally powerless against Satan and your demons these past 10 years. I listened to your dad many times begging for God to win you back. Mm. And now to see you, the transformation is unbelievable. You used to be so insecure, giggly, and now you're a minister for God with great confidence and a peacefulness about you. A miracle. That's what your dad mm-hmm. said for the last 5 months. It's a miracle. Sam Feasy, how?
Only through God. You know, thanks to Teen Challenge and really helping me navigate my way through Scripture and teaching classes and just giving you a sense of identity of who you are in Christ, that you're forgiven for your past, it's not held against you anymore, that you really do have a new life in Christ. And just God bless those men who are willing to take their time to guide others through that process. I mean, without that, I don't know if I would have ever really found the confidence, really would have found myself. I may have found Christ, but I don't think I would have found Christ and the relationship I have with Christ that I do now if it wasn't for the men who took their lives, really sacrificed their own lives to pour into others at Teen Challenge.
We're talking to Sam Feasy, the son of the late, great Mike Feasy and Susie Feasy. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Sam Feasy. Sam, a couple weeks before your dad passed, he called me and said, Jack, why don't you have Sam and me on the show for Father's Day? And we'll talk about the parable of the prodigal son, etc. And then your dad passed the end of March. If he was still alive and he was sitting in the chair right here, what would he say to our listeners tonight?
Never give up. Never give up when your child is struggling. When it seems like they want nothing to do with you, they won't reach out for help. I'm sure he would say that when he truly committed me to God's hands and God's care, that was when God could really work. When he kind of took a step back and said, you know what? I just trust that God is going to take care of Sam. He's going to change his life. He's going to do something. Whatever happens, I just know God's in control, and I'm okay with that. And I really think when he did that, God really began to grab a hold of me.
If there's a listener tonight that's an addict, driving or by himself or herself, what do you say to them?
There's hope. There is an opportunity for a new life. You can forgive yourself for what you've put others through, what you've put yourself through. And Christ truly can give you a whole new life. And that's, you know, that's really all I'd have to say, is that there's hope. There is definitely hope.
What do you say to someone says, okay, that's fine for you to say, you can forgive yourself, but the reality with my life is I've treated my mom and dad, who are fabulous, like dirt. I've put them through hell. I've broke their hearts time after time, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
I can't forgive myself.
Well, I definitely know that feeling. Which, feeling that way was a lot of the reason that I continued to get high. I continued to just live the lifestyle I had chosen. Not being able to forgive myself for putting my parents through hell, basically. And it wasn't until I really found out who Christ was and what Christ had forgiven me from is when I could accept the fact that, you know what, I can forgive myself and I'm going to move forward. And, you know, I had the great opportunity of knowing my parents were going to forgive me for what I had done to them, just knowing the kind of people they were. But some people don't have that, you know, living a lifestyle of sin. There's consequences. You may be forgiven for your sin in God's eyes, but there is still consequences in the world. And sometimes you just have to deal with those consequences. It's just part of life.
If there's moms and dads listening tonight that have a son or daughter that's addicted, what do you say to those moms and dads?
Love them. Love them, love them, love them, love them. Pray for them. Just hope and pray that God will grab a hold of them and change their lives. I can't imagine being on the other end of what I was doing. I'm sure it was a lot harder than what I was doing to myself than to have me as a son and watch me go through what I went through, especially having extremely loving parents. But, you know, I knew I could always run to them for true love, for true care, for true compassion. And I didn't have really any relationships like that. I didn't really have too many people in my life that I knew I could just run to no matter what, that were just going to love me regardless of where I was at.
You just turned 24 a week ago. And for 10, 12 years, all I heard your dad say through those years is, Jack, someday Sam is going to be a minister. And I'd think, wow. Now, you are a minister. Sam Feezy, why does God so often use the most troubled people to achieve the greatest things?
You can see redemption. You can really just see Jesus coming through their lives. When somebody has been through turmoil or distress or something in the world's eyes that would just say, you know, I just keep thinking of a scripture in 1 Corinthians that says God will use the foolish things of the world to rebuke the wise. He will use the unwise things of the world to shame those who are wise. And, you know, I just keep thinking, you see redemption in those people. They have no choice but to rely on God for their strength, for their power to carry them through each and every single day. They know their need. They know their need for God. They know that they can't make it another day without Him. And to see somebody who has a relationship like that with the Lord is inspiring to anybody. Addict, non-addict, somebody who's struggling, not struggling, a Christian, a man of God who's been serving the Lord for 20, 30 years, to see somebody who just really knows how desperate they are for God and His love is inspiring.
If there's a listener who says, I'm not an addict, but Sam, I need the weed, the liquor, the drugs, the sex to escape periodically. What do you say?
I'd say I was not an addict, but for a long time. I don't, it's not, for me, really coming into my own in a relationship with Christ, I realized that, you know, what I went through, this wasn't an addiction issue. I had a sin issue. Regardless of what I was doing, I was living in sin. Whether I was doing it once a week, twice a week, once an hour, every day of the week, couldn't stop, was constantly doing it, I was living in sin. And that sin led to bondage, and there was no freedom. So saying I'm not an addict, but I just like to sin a little bit is like, well, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not a sinner anymore. Of course I'm still a sinner, but I know I need God's grace to get me through every day.
As our time winds down tonight, Sam Feezy, would you lead us in a closing prayer?
Of course. Jesus, we just thank you so much for providing this opportunity. You know, we just thank you that you've used vessels for years, such as my dad, Mike Feezy, and Jack here, to just do your work, Lord, and just really make your name known and glorify you. And God, I just want to really honor the fathers tonight, Lord. Any father who has a son or daughter struggling with addiction, Lord, I pray you just give them strength. You give them hope to know that there's victory in Christ and there is hope on the other side. You know, I pray you just continue to raise up good men, good godly leaders of homes, of families. And God, just thank you for loving and caring fathers, Lord. Continue to just speak to us and pour into us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This show tonight marks 10 years of Anything Is Possible. And it was because of the late, great Mike Feezy, who took an unbelievable chance on me. And so I want to say thanks to him. Thanks to Tom O'Brien, Steve Stewart, Mike Wheeler, Mark Blackwell, John Marshall, Kelly Fisher, and most importantly, to you, the listeners. Sam, thanks a million for being a guest. Keep making Dad, Mom, and God proud every day.
Amen.
He got great plans for you. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Grasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.